Hallelujah. Today's title is What is my monument to my descendant? Today's scripture reading is Joshua chapter 4, verse 1 to 9. I'd like to read. Now it came about when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Take for yourself 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, saying, Take up for yourself 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest, the feet are standing form, and carry them over with you, and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight. So Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, Cross again to the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the son of Israel. Let this be the sign among you, so that when your children ask a letter, saying, What do these stones mean to you? Then you shall say to them, Because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. And thus the sons of Israel did, and Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, just as the Lord spoke to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. And they carried them over with them to the lodging place and put them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan at the place where the feet of the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and they are there to this day. This is word of God. In our last lessons, we saw that the Israelites crossed the Red Sea and the Jordan River to enter the land of Canaan, the land that God had promised them. Although they crossed the Red Sea geographically, the Apostle Paul realized that crossing the Jordan, the Red Sea, was a spiritual baptism, and the Apostle Peter explained the meaning of this baptism in this way. You can find out at the 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 21, and the corresponding to that, the baptism now saves you. Now the removal of dirt from the flesh burden appear to God for good conscience. Although the baptism is defined as the prayer to live with a clean conscience before God, in the first generation of the people in the wilderness never saw the land of Canaan and were completely destroyed in the wilderness at the brook of Sered, because they never stopped blaming and complaining against God and Moses for 40 years. They were baptized, but they were not born again, and so they could not see the land of Canaan. Jesus say in the John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answers and said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The learning from the destruction of the first generation in the wilderness, the second generation of Israel was able to cross the Jordan River and enter the land of Canaan, because they put away their grumbling and complaining before God and obeyed God's word, which was a shadow of John the Baptist, water baptism, and Jesus' baptism with fire and the Holy Spirit. We can see that in the John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. When the Israelites finally crossed the Jordan River and arrived the land of Canaan, God told them to set up stone monument to commemorate the miracle God had done for them to cross the Jordan River. If you look closely at the text, there are two locations for the monuments. One is to take a stone from the place where the priest stood with the Ark of the Covenant in the middle of the fog in the Jordan River and set it up at the Gilgal. And you can find the verse 8. The first familiar place in the land of Canaan after crossing the river, that is another verse, is verse 9. And the other is a set of 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan, where the feet of the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant stood. In other words, they built two monuments, one outside the river and one inside the river. The monument in the river was to be submerged and invisible, while the monument outside the river was to be visible, so that when future generations of descendants were curious and asked why you built a monument, you could give a living testimony to them. The verse chapter, Joshua chapter verse 4, chapter 4 verse 7. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. So what would be the lesson that God wanted to leave as a memorial for the Israelite today? The account of the first generations in the wilderness, crossing the Red Sea and walking on the dry land, is the same as the second generation in the wilderness walking on dry land and crossing it. However, there was a difference. It is command of holiness. Let's look at the Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. Then Joshua said to the peoples, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." The first generation in the wilderness had experience with the sanctification when they thought to see God at the Mount Sinai. Externally, it means washing our clothes, cleansing our body, and not sleeping with the other peoples. Internally, it means that our heart must be holy. Before we can try any problem, the first thing we must do is sanctify ourselves. There must be a relationship between God and us. If we are not holy, God cannot work in us. Why? In the according to the Isaiah chapter 59 verse 2 is clearly explained to us. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Right? Sanctify yourself is not something we can do in our own strength, but it is something that can only be accomplished by working in joy, love, and obedience to God. Holy Spirit in our heart so completely, it is to have the Holy Spirit in our heart completely that there is no room for any sin or the temptation to enter our heart. Furthermore, it is to be ready to hear God's voice and obey Him in all things. Only such people can enter the Holy Land promised by God. Amen. In this way, the second generation in the wilderness must learn the life of the sanctification from the church in the wilderness and prepare to enter the land of Canaan by pursuing holiness. Our faith life does not end with confessing our sin, but there must be process of sanctifying our heart to resemble the Lord. My faith must grow. My heart must be completely transformed into the heart of the Lord. My old man and the outward man must be put to death by the word. and the new man and the inner man in the spirit must be strengthened day by day until finally the day comes when I will put to death all the deeds of the flesh and be filled with the spirit. Amen. So is Apostle Paul talked to us in the 2 Timothy chapter 2:21. Therefore, if a man cleanses himself from these things, God will be a vessel for honor. He will be the vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to master, prepared for every good works. You don't need the Ark of the Covenant to cross the Red Sea. The church's doors are wide open to anyone. All anyone has to do is jump in. Any sinner will be recognized as righteous. But to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must have the divine baptism of the Holy Spirit, the reception of the Spirit of Jesus. Amen. In the John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus answered that, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And today, God commands us to do something that he didn't command us to do when we crossed the Red Sea, take the stones, and build a wall. While crossing the Jordan River, God commanded one representative from each of the 12 tribes be chosen to set up two stones, the monument. One was to be erected with the 12 stones in the middle of the dry riverbed, and the other was to be set up outside the river, at a place at the site called Gilgal. These stone monuments were established by God as a sign for the Israelite and eternal memorial. I'd like to read one more time the Joshua chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. "Let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask a letter saying, 'What do these stones mean to you?' then you shall say to them, 'Because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, so these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever.'" The word of memorial here is in Hebrew is zikaron, which refers to an object, a place, or a recurring event that is intended to serve as a vivid reminder of what God has done for his peoples. The idea is that these two stone monuments are signs of Almighty God's provision for Israel's salvation and a supernatural product. The establishment of this monument, the one hidden under the water and the other visible above the river, remind us of God's redemptive work. According to Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, Deuteronomy chapter 29 to 29, "The secret things being to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us." Amen. The stones, monument set up in the middle of the rivers, is the death sentence of our ugly self, and its location is at the foot of the Ark of the Covenant. And to receive the new stone from the Lord and to set up monument outside the water, outside the river, speaks of the triumphant resurrection of the old man of the flesh, the new man of the spirit. Where was the monument set up outside the river? What does the name mean? We can find out the Joshua chapter 4, verse 20. "Now Joshua set up in Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken from the Jordan." And the meaning of Gilgal in the Joshua chapter 5, verse 9, the God explained himself. "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Today I have rolled away to Ephrath Refrock of Egypt, the dam knew, so the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. This signifies that all the curse associated with the living as a slave to sin and death in the world have been removed. In other words, it symbolically proclaimed that by performing circumcision at Gilgal later, they were made new peoples. It represents not physical circumcision, but the circumcision of Christ, a spiritual circumcision. According to the Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 to 12, but is of especially the verse 11, the explained clear, explained to us too clearly. As in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Amen. For my sins and death were buried with him and the place of burial in Gilgal, the cross of the Lord. According to the Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Apostle Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Amen. One who is crucified with the Lord on the cross not only has no shame in faith, but also continually manifests only the glory of the Lord. The two stone, the monument, does illustrate our union with Christ's death and resurrections. According to the Romans chapter 6, verse 4 to 5, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. All these things happened on January 10th, 41 years after the Exodus. In the Joshua chapter 4, verse 19, clearly talked to us, now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th of the first month and camped at Gilgal on the eastern edge of Jericho. January 10th is the same day that they prepared the Passover ram to leave Egypt where they have been enslaved 40 years earlier. You can find out the Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. Each person was instructed to take a ram without partaking of the Lord's body and blood. Without being united with the Lord, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen. You can see that according to the Acts chapter 4, verse 12, and there is a salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that him that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Amen. Beloved saints, today God is reminding us of his salvation through Jesus Christ, not just for Israel, but for us today. By erecting 212 stone monuments to commemorate this historic event of salvation, God has established an eternal monument in our history, which is the cross of Jesus. The cross is a monument that signifies the love and love all humans should have, even to the point of death. It stands as a memorial of the death of my old self. The cross also symbolizes new life I have received and the new birth of my being. We have not gathered here to build a stone monument. We have gathered in the church to build a monument to the salvation of the cross. Shouldn't this church, the church of love first, which the Lord established in this world with the price of his own blood, be an eternal monument? Dear saints, today we ask ourselves, what kind of monumental legacy are we leaving to our beloved children and future generations? Why did you give me a monumental church, and why are you leaving it? We must ask ourselves if we have the content of faith to pass on to our children. Having crossed the Jordan River and having all our shame removed at Gilgal, do you wish to return to the old self? You know, is that the Apostle Peter is the criticized to that kind of people, to as like he used the true proverb in the 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 22. A dog returns to its own vomit, and so after washing returns to wallowing in the mirror. For those who return, it is eternal damnation with no opportunity to repent. According to the Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 to 6, for in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. Now, my life itself must become a monument before God and before the world, if we can explain the absolute certainty of salvation and how Jesus is working in my life, then we not leaving a footprint of faith. In our faith journey, it is more important now how long we have believed, but how well we believe the content of our faith matters. We must have a clear belief in the Jesus of the cross and the resurrections. Therefore, today we should testify that we live and breathe within the salvation of God and experience His blessings. In the future, I want to leave a legacy to my descendants, showing that I lived a devoted life by dedicating myself to the Lord and fulfilling the duties and the missions given to me by God in this Love First Church. I wish to leave a proud testimony to my descendants that I served faithfully until death. Amen.